question today. It's simply this. Why do we here at First E-Free spend a huge portion of this weekly time? This is our main gathering as a church each week. Why do we spend so much of that opening up the Bible to hear what God has said? There's lots of other things we could do. Why so much on the Scriptures? Of course, we could ask more questions. Why do we do the same at midweek Bible studies and prayer gatherings and children's classes and youth events? Why do we open up the Bible so much and so often here at First E-Free? Suppose we could ask it the other way. Why do you, dear friends, who give your hard-earned dollars to keep lights on and the building opened and food in my mouth, why do you charge me first and foremost to study and preach and teach to you God's Word? You could answer that in a bunch of different ways, I realize. You know, we're a Christian church. You know, studying the Bible is what we do. Okay, that's true. But there are plenty of churches that give their time and money and attention in ways that are far less focused on the Scriptures. So why do we do what we do? Let me answer that by asking a different question, actually. Why do you care about your health? Right, the answer, of course, is because your health matters. It affects you. It affects your daily life. Good health or bad health affects how you go through life minute by minute, hour by hour. And here's then the kicker. Well, our understanding, our trust of, our response to what God has said, to the very words of God Himself, well, that affects us day by day and hour by hour, not only in this life, but for eternity. Right? How much more, then, do we need to know what our God says? To not just kind of shoot from the hip when it comes to what we believe, what we hope. To not just make a guess about how to go through life. To not just wish that we're doing things that we hope God sees as acceptable, but to actually know it. And that's really where the rubber meets the road, isn't it? What if we could know what God requires of us, what He calls us to? And that's the blessing of God's Word. This morning, then, we're beginning a new sermon series. Go for the next couple months or so. We're going to focus on just six verses of the Bible. Wow. Why would you want to show up for that? You'd think week one we'd kind of be done with that. Well, it's because the six verses that we're going to focus on are a summary of what God's church is to know and to believe and to do. And this is how God's people live as God's people. Now, obviously, we could go many other places in the Bible. God says a whole lot more than six verses out of Acts chapter 2. But my goal in this is I want us to go deep rather than broad. Both are good. For this time, I want us to go deep with this. I want us to learn what God Himself has called us to be and to do. So, if you don't already, there's probably a Bible in the pew in front of you. I'd encourage you, by the way, bring a Bible these next few weeks. I realize some of you, you do Bible on your phone, maybe so you can get a bigger font or whatever. That's great. If not, like if you don't have to do that, you might consider a paper Bible, something that will remove distractions from you. Because I want you to see what God says. So, open up to Acts chapter 2. We're going to see the Word of God at verse 42. Acts in the New Testament, right after the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts chapter 2, starting with verse 42. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. I want to just both start and stop there with they devoted themselves. Right? Even in this one verse, we're already seeing this early church, this first Jerusalem church, is giving themselves to doing certain things. Right? So right here from the start, they devoted themselves. There's only 2 points I want to make this morning. Here's the first one. I want you to see that believers in Jesus in the first century devoted themselves to a certain way of life. They gave themselves to that. We're going to see over the next few weeks that Christianity was not just one of many things they did. It's not just kind of an add-on. It's not just what they do on the Lord's Day for a few hours in the morning. No, they are giving themselves to this following after Jesus. We are very rapidly going towards fall. You get fall sports, and all the between football and everything else. And do you realize that anyone that you are watching, you know, for the big game or whatever else, they have devoted themselves to their particular sport. As far as I know, no pro athlete gives themselves to, you know, 2 or 3 hours once a week. That's enough. No, they give daily of their time, their attention, perhaps their money even, to perfect their performance in their case. Well, in a much more important sense, you need to see that these first believers, they have reoriented life around following Jesus. The Christian faith defined how these brothers and sisters lived and went about their days. Now, to get that right and not just to turn it into who knows what and where, we need some context. The book of Acts, written by Luke, picks up immediately at the end of Luke's gospel. So in Acts chapter 1, you would find that Christ has risen from the grave. He is taken up to heaven, and he lives the mission of teaching and telling about him, of what he has done, what he has accomplished on the cross. He leaves that to his first followers, called there the apostles, which just is the sent ones, the ones who have a mission to go and tell. Thankfully, it wasn't just those first 11 flawed men who had to do it all, but instead Jesus promised the Holy Spirit to them, the Holy Spirit who would then fill them with power to be witnesses of Jesus, both there locally and throughout the world. And this then would turn into not just, of course, the 11, but a wider group of disciples, and then into churches, and then it spreads from Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and all the points of the earth, even to Sioux City, Iowa. That's Acts 1. At the start of Acts chapter 2, we read of the coming of the Holy Spirit then. So just as promised, the Holy Spirit arrives in this mighty way, so mighty, in fact, that the bystanders, so those who didn't believe, but who saw this happening to these Christians, they don't even have categories for this. They're like, okay, are these guys all, are they drunk? I mean, what's going on? This is crazy. And so Peter, Apostle Peter, stands up at that time. He preaches a brilliant sermon where he links Old Testament prophecies way back in Joel to what the crowd was seeing right before their eyes happening. And the Lord works powerfully through the preaching of his word. And when all's said and done, about 3,000 some people come to faith in Jesus that day. Want to talk amazing, that's it. And it's immediately after that happens that we come to our verse for today. And so what Luke reveals miracles is that these new Christians had their entire lives transformed by the power of God. Right? They devote themselves in response, first of all, make sure you get this right, to what God has first done. So they're not trying to earn anything. No, God's already done it, and now they're responding. They devote themselves then to four things, the first of which is the apostles' teaching. More on that in just a moment. This morning, then, I want to call on you with a challenge before we continue on. You are to examine yourself and ask, just as I have been preparing this message, am I devoted to Jesus Christ? How would you know? Well, one way is to look at the evidence in your own life. Does it match the sorts of examples that we see in the Scriptures? People forsaking sin and the pleasures of this world to follow Jesus, even though it's hard, even though it's costly. People living by humility and grace and fruitfulness for Christ's kingdom. Is that increasingly describing you? I don't mean some checklist of perfections. I guarantee you're not going to get them all checked this side of heaven. That's not what I mean. But I mean, are you seeing this become increasingly true of you? Are you giving yourself to growing in Jesus? I think perhaps the biggest pitfalls, one of the things that keeps us from that at times, is that we live in such a distracting world. Right? If your mailbox or your email inbox, for that matter, if it's anything like mine, it's rare to go any length of time without someone trying to get your attention. Right? Oh, look at this new whiz-bang thing. It'll change your life. Just click here. Here's this new business, and just call us. We've got your quote ready. Right? Everyone wants your time, your attention, your wallet, your volunteer hours. And what we need to see then from these first century believers is that Christ got the best of their time, the best of their attention, the first fruits, certainly even of their possessions. We'll come to that in a few weeks. Christ didn't get the leftovers. He didn't get kind of half attention, one eye on Snapchat, the other eye on the church service. Devotion wasn't one where Jesus was just kind of one of many things. Oh, yeah, I love Jesus. I'm a Packers fan. I'm a Republican. No. Instead, the picture here was the sort of life where apparently everyone around these people knew that they were following Jesus. They might not know everything about that. Obviously, there were all kinds of questions for these Christians. But I wonder, and frankly, this is the thing that I've been wrestling with for myself. Do you, do I, do we, Thirsty Free, have that same kind of devotion to the Lord? That same kind of passion for following after Jesus. That same sort of grateful response because we know what we have been saved from. Jesus is more important than politics, sports, wealth, hobbies, the newest tech gadgets, money. It's not saying that none of those things matter. I'm saying Jesus is even more. He's even greater. Right? When we rightly value those other things, realize that we must rightly value Christ even more. And he calls us to that. Will we respond faithfully? So devotion is what marked these first Christians. Devotion is what we need. But devotion to what? How do we fill in that blank in the ways that God has told us to? Well, let's see it again, Acts 2:42. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. We begin today by talking about the apostles' teaching. why give such attention to the Scriptures? Right? That's how, that was the question I even began the sermon with. Here's the answer. The apostles' teaching was all about what Jesus had done and what he had said. It was proclaiming the gospel, the good news, showing how Jesus was the promised fulfillment of all that God had been saying all along. Do you realize that? Even back in the Old Testament, even back in Genesis 3 with the one who will crush the head of the serpent, even through all those prophets where you wonder, what's going on there? And I don't understand. And do you realize all of that is pointing toward Jesus Christ and what he would do? His perfect life, fulfilling every bit of God's law, and yet his death in our place for our sins, his glorious resurrection, and indeed his ascension to the right hand of God and his coming return. All of it zeroes in on Jesus Christ. Right? This is the message. The apostles' teaching is the message that Jesus has done the work, is coming back, and we will be with him forever. How do I know that? How do I know that that's what's being taught? Well, just as an example, in your free time this week, scan any of the sermons out of the book of Acts, for example. Peter's comes right before these verses, as I've already mentioned. Or maybe, I don't know, maybe you want someone other than Peter. Okay, Stephen's comes in Acts chapter 7, or Paul's sermon in Acts chapter 13, right? In each of these, you will see this message of the gospel being proclaimed and applied to people all over this kind of Mediterranean area. And it's applied in ways that are specific to their situation, their lives, their town, and yet it's the same gospel each and every time. God's gospel is big enough for your life, for mine. Right? This is the picture. So if you've wondered, why do we value the Scriptures as we do? Why do I preach the way I do? Well, it's because I'm convinced that faithful preaching, what we're doing right now, is not just you hearing Pastor Kevin's thoughts and opinions on the world for half hour, 40 minutes. I don't really think that's all that important, to be honest. I don't have that many unique thoughts. I don't always even say them all that well. If that's all I have to offer you, there's probably others I could point you to that are a lot more helpful. But if faithful preaching is when the message of the sermon matches the emphasis, the shape, the message of God's Word, well, that's something no one can do better. Not because I'm perfect, but because God's Word's unchanging. I once heard a preacher of yesteryear talk about, you know, the church down the street, and they said, you know, that guy, he can sure give a better sermon, but he can't give a better gospel. Because the gospel is God's words. Bigger than me, bigger than you. Right? That's what faithful preaching is. It's hearing and applying what God has said. The same God who proclaimed, "Let there be light," right? Back there, Genesis 1, is the God whose very words are recorded and preserved and by his grace translated for you, dear friends. Do you realize that? God's word for you. Sometimes people wonder, well, what's God said? How can I hear from him? You can. Right here. God has preserved his word for you and me and us. So important is this that during the Reformation, one of the things the Reformers rightly recognized from the Scriptures is that the Bible being rightly taught and preached and proclaimed was one of the markers of whether a church was actually a church or not. No word of God, no church. Didn't matter how beautiful the building, how big the money bin filled with gold. No, if they weren't proclaiming the word, they are not meeting the definition of what a church is. So then, the apostles were teaching God's word. The people were giving their attention to that. But they're doing more than just listening to a lecture. They devoted themselves to this. Now, that's a little different, isn't it? That devotion works its way out in how these first brothers and sisters acted. We're going to see a lot more of that in coming weeks. But even just think throughout the New Testament, so many of Paul's letters record the very practical questions that God's people had of, okay, we've heard what God said. Now, how do we do that, though, Paul? I mean, I get that I'm supposed to love my wife, but what about this situation or that? You know, how do I love her in this? I get that I'm supposed to work hard at my job as if working under the Lord, but Paul, don't you know I'm a slave? How do I do that? And so many of Paul's letters are addressing those practical questions. All right, how do we actually do this Christian life? This, then, is what it looks like to be devoted to God's Word. Which leads me to a question, and it's this. What will you do with the knowledge of God? Right? With what you read, what you study, what you hear from His Word. I mean, God's not just telling you information as if this is kind of like some sort of divine Google. Oh, the info's there. You know, when you need it, just do a search and find what you need. And not saying there aren't times in life for that. I get that. But that's not why we've been given the Word. It's not just like an encyclopedia, or it's not like a dictionary on the shelf where it just kind of sits there, and every once in a while, maybe you need it. That's really not what's going on. The point of God revealing Himself to His people is so that we would respond. And we talked about this in adult Sunday school. This is what faith is. It's not just knowing the right things, though it is that. It can't be less than that. But it's then responding then to what you know, to what you believe. It's trust. And as was brought up so wonderfully in our Sunday school class, that trust is then expressed in how we live. So much so that if we look at our lives and it's not matching what we say we believe, there's a problem. Something needs to change. We worship God for who He is, and we give ourselves to following and obeying and responding to what He has said and done. And how do we know what that is? He's told us. He's told us in His Word. So, that's the big picture, devotion to God's Word. Now, what does that look like? How do we do that? Well, it looks like reorienting your schedule and your priorities and your desires to prize God. That's what it looks like. Because when we prize God, we want to hear from Him. Prizing the Lord will lead to prizing His Word. When are you making time to get God's Word into your heart and mind? It's coming down to the brass tacks here. When are you doing that each day? Find a pattern. Routines are not always bad. I realize they can be bad, but for me, I've realized routines help me rather than harm me. Not saying this is from the Lord for all of you, but you want an example? My own routine is to get into the Word and prayer first thing in the morning, even before I come up here. Because otherwise, hey, you know, things get busy. The phone calls come, things come up. It's too easy to get distracted. Maybe that would help some of you. Maybe that's not where you're at in life. Maybe for you it needs to be after the kids or grandkids are down at night and it's finally quiet. You know, for those whatever, 20, 30 minutes before bed, okay, redeem that time. Use it well. Maybe it's during your lunch hour is kind of the only time when everyone leaves you alone. And I actually know of one pastor who, just because of his schedule, it's his lunch hour when he studies the Word and spends time in prayer. Right? Figure out where that needs to fit for you, but it needs to fit somewhere. It needs to be a priority. Make time to see and think on what God has said. Right? His words are more important than your favorite blog, than the newest online newsletter, than whatever the sports scores are. Right? Make a covenant with yourself to not look at your phone or social media until you've spent time with the Lord. Those aren't my words, but that was actually one of the things that came out with when I was talking with one of my doctoral professors. We were talking, you know, why is it so hard to pray? And one of the things he said that personally was because he's so distracted. You know, he wakes up, and what's one of the first things he does? Picks up the phone. And that might not be all of your temptation. It might be someone's temptation, though. And so he made a promise to the Lord of, okay, I'm not going to pick up my phone, you know, unless like the emergency call rings through or something. I'm not going to pick up my phone until I've spent time on my knees before the Lord. And I just thought, wow, you know, here's a guy who's devoted to following after Jesus. And he was saying this, by the way, before he became a professor and, you know, only worked one day a week or whatever. This was why he was still a Navy chaplain. Think of how early he had to get up to do that. First challenge, right there. Here's the second and the last one. You know, if that's the individual challenge, what about us as a church? For you and for me, it's that we would be champions for God's word in every ministry of our church. That we would, in fact, refuse to do something, whatever that is, whatever cool ministry that it sounds like or whatever, if it doesn't in some way focus on or reflect or shed light on what God has said. I realize that could be smaller, that could be larger, okay? I don't mean that every time we meet, we need to have sermon time. That's not what I'm saying. I am saying, though, can we pray about what God has said? Could that be part of what we do before we get to this activity or that one? Could we, as I often see with our food bank, and I realize some folks aren't always interested or they're in a hurry, but when we have opportunities, I see so many of our volunteers say, hey, how are you? Or how can I pray for you? Or do you have a church home? Or, you know, can we show them something of who Jesus is through our words, our hospitality? Right, what would that look like for each and every ministry? That's the standard we need to uphold. Right, we should want to spend our time and effort on teaching, knowing, memorizing, responding to what God has said. Maybe you're a Sunday school teacher, a VBS leader, a Disciple Quest instructor. Many of you are parents. Hey, encourage your students as you go home. Hey, what'd you guys learn in Sunday school today? What'd you talk about in the Bible? It doesn't have to be long. Maybe it's just 5 minutes on the way home. Okay. But it helps you reinforce. We want to know what God said. Hey, guys, dudes, talk with your wife about the sermon. Hey, how'd that hit you? You know, man, that verse, I'm really thinking on it. What are you thinking about? Defend our priority of God's word to anyone who asks, anyone who suggests that we should spend less time on the Bible and more time being relevant, whatever that means. I find God's word perfectly relevant in every way. Or even think of the future. I mean, someday, if God so chooses, what if we hired additional staff? You should be an advocate for whoever that is. You know, if it's a pastor, that they would prioritize God's word if they're going to work here, if they're going to serve here. Friends, this is what we're after. Devotion to the Lord by hearing and taking seriously what he has said. Let's end our time then this morning by calling on the Lord in prayer that that he would make this true in us. Right? Not that we would just respond with, okay, we need to do more and try harder. That's, you know, maybe for some of you, you're motivated that way, and if so, Lord bless you. I know for a lot of us, that's kind of at best, you have it was a great month of, and then it kind of falls off. Right? No, we want God to transform us so that we would be seen as those devoted to him. Why? Don't miss this. It's because ultimately God's word, the Bible, reveals his word, Jesus Christ. God has marvelously given us this record so that we could know of Christ's words and works from now until the day when our faith turns into sight, when we see our King. And what's more, the Lord has given us new hearts where Jesus enables us to have a new allegiance that we would want to grow and follow and hear those words of our King, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter and enjoy your master." Those words can be our words if we would faithfully follow what the Lord has told us. So let's ask him together that he would work through his Spirit in us now as we pray. Heavenly Father, you have spoken to us. That's a fundamental fact, Lord, that is so easy to forget, sadly, tragically. But you've already told us all that we need to know, that we would respond to you, that we would have faith in Jesus, that we would have hope, not just for this life, but for eternity. And yet, too often, Lord, we ignore your word, or we think too little of it, or we just kind of tack it on to something else. Lord, would you change us? Not that we have to be some sort of academic scholars. We don't. We don't. But would you change us so that we would treasure what you've said? That we would hide your word in our hearts? That we would be known for living and speaking and responding to what you've joyously told us? Lord, if for here, whatever habits need to change in each of our lives, we pray that you would do that through your Spirit. Not grudgingly, Lord, but persistently, that you would put in us a want to for hearing from you, and that you would make in each of our lives, busy as they are, different as we are from one another, some hole in our schedule where we can regularly spend time hearing what you have said. And then, Father, lastly, it's our prayer that as we do that, we wouldn't just have some new spiritual practice to feel good about, but that instead of doing that, we would better know our Savior and his grace and mercy for us. But that would give us confidence as Christians to go and tell and show others of how good Jesus is, and so that your church, First and Free, here in Sioux City, would be a light to this community and to the nations for your glory and